children of water, electricity and heating with the winter coming, these are acts of pure terror. And we have to call it as such.
So she's talking about what Russia is doing in Ukraine. Would this also apply to Israel and Palestine?
International law applies everywhere. Human rights are universal, indivisible, and inalienable. This is the EU position across the world.
Let me ask you about a statement by Jan Egeland, the Secretary General of the Norwegian Refugee Council. He's got dozens of workers in Palestine. We just spoke to Yusuf yesterday from the Jabalia refugee camp is where he lives. He came in, talked about the difficulty of even moving to be able to talk to us to find a space that had electricity. Today, we can't reach people in Gaza. But Jan Egeland, the Secretary General of the Norwegian Refugee Council, commented on the Israeli relocation ultimatum of Gaza civilians, saying the Israeli military demand that 1.2 million civilians in northern Gaza relocate to its south within 24 hours absent of any guarantees of safety or return would amount to the war crime of forcible transfer. It must be reversed, he said. Your response, Venkin van Bergsdorf.
I fully subscribe to the statement of Jan Egeland. As an international legal expert, as a political scientist, as a former diplomat and as a human being, there is no doubt that this has to be respected. And by the way, let me just underline this. If Israel decides to close its crossings in Kerem Shalom and in Erez, Egypt is bound by international law to open its border crossing in Rafah. And it cannot be that Israel threatens to bomb corridors and transports carrying humanitarian facilities and equipment. It cannot be. This is another war crime if that would take place. Egypt also has to ensure that its obligations towards refugees under international law are fully respected. So it's not just ensuring that in the space of the South, if one were actually to displace people, all the facilities are there, fully knowing that this amounts already, this forced eviction, to a war crime, but also the ability for people to be able to exit for humanitarian reasons. This highly dense populated strip in Gaza in the south would also mean for Egypt to open its borders. And of course, in their community, of providing the necessary provisions to facilitate that people can live there. Again, this can only be a temporary solution. It cannot be that, as Mohammed Shahada said, we are basically witnessing a second Nakba, whereby the entire Gazan population is forcibly evicted from their homeland, which is Gaza, from their homes. And that is also something I think we have clearly to underline when talking to Israel and when engaging with them on finding a solution. Let me just say an important thing right now. The key political measure right now is to de-escalate and stop any further war crime and try to ensure that the people of Gaza are fully safe and protected. And of course, I understand that there's an important issue of freeing the hostages. I don't know whether it's 150 or whatever the number is. But it's very important that this process be done as soon as possible and through negotiations. This is also a very important element which we have to be aware of. So humanitarian access and exit and freeing the hostages and de-escalating are the three key, I think, objectives one has to engage on now.
We want to thank you for being with us, Venkun van Bergsdorf, former EU ambassador to the occupied Palestinian territory, served in that post up until July, speaking to us from France. When we come back, we'll speak with Rabbi David Bassiour. One of his congregants was killed Saturday in the Hamas attack on one of the kibbutzes where he was living in Israel. And we'll speak with Noura Erekat, Palestinian human rights attorney. Stay with us.
Wenn wir kommen und marschieren in a schönem hellen Tag, ich im dunkle Millionen, a tausend Schabs euch Stock, bei Putzeren nicht schlafen, wenn die Sonne rausgesprungen, war die Menschen Herren singen, Bräut und Reusen, Bräut und Blumen. Wenn wir kommen und marschieren, war Männer euch kämpft men, weil Freuen sind und Brüder, Mames seinen mir gewinn. Zwei von uns kein Schweiß nicht drinnen, von Geburt bis Ende Leben. Herz erhungern euch Körper, geht uns Bräut und geht uns Blumen. Wenn wir gehen marschieren,
Bread and Roses by Brivilla. That's an anti-fascist klezmer folk punk group. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We go now to Seattle, Washington, where we're joined by Rabbi David Basur of Kadima Reconstructionist Community. One of his congregants, Chaim Katzman, died on Saturday in the Hamas attack on the kibbutz where he was living in Israel. Chaim's mother said, quote, I just think it's chilling. My father grew up in Poland. He survived the Holocaust with false papers. My mother was a refugee from Germany who left after Hitler came to power. It's chilling to me that my son died hiding in a closet, she said. The death toll in Israel has now topped 1,300 after Saturday's attack. Meanwhile, the seven-day Israeli bombardment of Gaza has killed at least 1,500 Palestinians. Rabbi David Basur, welcome to Democracy Now! Condolences to you and your whole community. And I say that for Chaim, the PhD student who returned to Israel, lived in kibbutz and was killed on Saturday, part of your community, and also for what is happening in Gaza, because you are well known for speaking out on behalf of Palestinians as well. Rabbi Basur, tell us about Chaim Katzman, what happened to him, and what you feel needs to happen right now.
Thank you for having me, Amy. And thank you for those condolences. Chaim dedicated his dissertation to all life forms that exist between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea. And so I join in that dedication today in speaking with you and your viewers. Chaim was a very warm, very loving, very humble, and very willing educator and student in our community. He came to us from Israel, where he grew up, and he was in Seattle studying for his PhD. I had a very last-minute opening for a Hebrew teacher in our program for young people, and he applied, never having taught young people before and never having taught Hebrew to Americans before. And yet he was willing, he was game. He was creative. He became beloved over the 2.5 years that he worked with us and our young people. I have very fond memories of talking about the politics of the situation with him during the pizza dinner break on Tuesday evenings in Seattle, here on Duwamish land. And he will be missed. I last saw him in 2021 when he came to defend his dissertation at the University of Washington. And I learned of his death first thing Sunday morning.
And if you can talk about what happened on the border, the Hamas attack, called the worst mass slaughter of Jews since World War II, and yet why you continue to talk about the end of the occupation and how critical that is, the occupation of Palestinian territories.
Yeah. Thank you, Amy. The attack against civilian Jews in Israel on Saturday was shocking, was terrifying, was awful. It shook many in my community and myself to the core. Many Israelis in my community themselves critical of the Israeli government and the occupation, but having family throughout the state, myself having friends in the land as well, was It was terrible to hear about just as I was setting up for Simchat Torah services on Saturday morning, where we then danced around with the Torah to music similar to Brevola, who we just heard. We did so to sanctify life, and that ultimately is why I have been outspoken against the Israeli occupation for a few decades now. Life is the utmost. It is the most core teaching that I have received from my tradition, from my ancestors. The idea that never again means never again for anyone means that in the West Bank, and certainly in Gaza right now, where we are on the verge of a complete nightmare, must be spoken out against, must be called back toward reason, toward the interdependence, toward the ways in which Jews, Israelis, Palestinians, and everyone living in the region, our fates are intertwined. Bombing is bombing all of us, is bombing hope, is bombing reason. We need to de-escalate the situation. I can do what I can do from Seattle. We all must move out of hopelessness and into action by either calling our representatives, by coming together, by reaching out to Palestinian friends in the diaspora, to reaching out to Jews, Israelis who have friends and family in harm's way. The situation has been terrible for many, many years. And the context of the occupation, of the atrocities for the last 75 years, must be reconciled. To face them is not to say anyone is bad, no one deserves to be killed, and yet we have to face them, we have to make things right. It is the teaching of the tradition that I came up in and now represent as a rabbi.
I want to turn to and end with the words of Chaim's brother, Chaim Katzman's brother, Noy Katzman, speaking on CNN.
The most important for me, and I think also for my brother, was that his death won't be used to kill innocent people. And sadly, my government is using cynically the death of people to just kill. Like, they promised us it's gonna bring us security, but of course it's not security, because they always tell us, oh, that if we're gonna kill enough Palestinians, or they're gonna, so it's gonna be better for us. But of course it never brings us peace, and it never brings us better lives. It just brings more and more terror and more people killed, like my brother. And I don't want anything to happen to people in Gaza like it happens to my brother. And I'm sure he wouldn't have any either. So that's my call to my government: stop killing innocent people. And that's not the way that brings us peace and security to people in Israel.
That's Noy Katzman, the brother of Chaim, who was killed by Hamas in a closet in his kibbutz on Saturday. Rabbi David Basur, I want to thank you so much for being with us, of the Kadima Reconstructionist Community in Seattle, Washington. Coming up for more on the Gaza crisis, we speak with Noura Erekat, Palestinian human rights attorney. Back in 20 seconds. Ramzi Abdurradwan, this is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Last night, the Israeli army ordered half the population of Gaza, 1.1 million residents, to evacuate their homes within 24 hours from northern Gaza to the south. and what many Palestinians fear is the start of a second Nakba. The UN said the mass transfer of half of Gaza's population would have devastating humanitarian consequences. This comes as Israel's bombed Gaza for 7 straight days, killing at least 1,500 people. Joining us now, Noura Erekat, Palestinian human rights attorney, associate professor at Rutgers University, author of Justice for Some, Law and the Question of Palestine. She's speaking to us from Philadelphia. Noura, if you can respond to this order and what's happening in Gaza.
Good morning, Amy, and thank you. Your reporting has been an oasis in a sea of warmongering across mainstream media, for which I have deep contempt at this moment. They have mobilized almost every racial trope of savagery, barbarian. They have built on Islamophobia and the infrastructure of the war on terror to create a common sense, logical conclusion that war is inevitable and whatever consequences come out is the fault of Hamas, thereby further blaming the victims for their own killing and massacres. At this point, we have to understand that there is no military solution. There has never been a military solution to this. Hamas cannot be eradicated. As we've seen right now, Palestinians are being killed, pulled from out of the rubble. We have not given them hope. I saw a young girl staring in trauma at the screen, her entire family decimated. What will happen to this young girl in 20 years? What will we tell her? That Israel had no choice, that this was your fault, and now your future is to continue to be stuck in an open-air prison. There must be hope, and that hope lies in a political solution and in the responsibility of the international community to dismantle an apartheid system, to dismantle prolonged military occupation, the longest in the world, to lift a debilitating siege that has condemned Palestinians to slow death. This is a human-made disaster, a catastrophe, according to the World Health Organization. This is not a crisis. It is a humanitarian catastrophe. If we are to create a future, it has to begin and end with a political and diplomatic solution.
We have this update. Palestine's Ministry of Health said 7 Palestinians have been shot dead by Israeli forces in the occupied West Bank today. 500 Palestinian children have been killed in Gaza, and at least Hamas is saying that 13 of the hostages have died in the Israeli airstrikes. These are hostages that Hamas took from the Gaza border. Your response to all?
It's devastating, Amy. All of us are watching this. But one of the things that we've been emphasizing is that although what we're seeing is devastating, we've also been laying a pathway out of it. While international human rights organizations and Israeli human rights organizations came to near consensus in 2020 that Israel oversees an apartheid system, a crime against humanity. What is the greatest crime that is sustaining this ongoing structure of violence? There should have been mobilization to impose weapons sanctions on Israel, to impose a diplomatic solution, to force Israel in order to dismantle this racist colonial structure that has basically condemned Palestinians to permanent subjugation. It is the failure of the international community to mobilize that has now produced this outcome. It is all of our responsibility. There is blood on all of our hands, and now the way out is not a military solution. We have to de-escalate. There must be a ceasefire. There must be a recognition that Hamas, unlike these awful comparisons to ISIS and Al-Qaeda, is actually a nascent sovereign of the Palestinian people who has only targeted Israel, that gives them the right to use armed force, though that right is not qualified. That right is not, unqualified. They cannot use it however which way, based on ongoing trauma and violence, but it must be recognized that as a nascent sovereign, they are representing a Palestinian's people struggle for freedom. And as we've seen from the broad Palestinian public, institutions, civil society organizations, other political parties, they have all insisted that responsibility for this lies at the feet of Israel. The Haaretz editorial team has also said this lies in the responsibility of Israel. This is not about finger pointing. nor is it about being counting the dead. There is tragedy on all sides. But if we are interested, if we are interested in not only ending this particular crisis, but of also achieving a durable, truthful, long-lasting solution, we have to go beyond this moment to dismantle the structures of violence that are sustaining it and creating these tragedies that are hurting everybody and will spill beyond Israelis and Palestinians throughout the region and throughout the world.
I want to ask you about the White House just saying that Gaza City's evacuation is a tall order. The Israeli army's call for more than a million people to evacuate North Gaza, a tall order, the White House has said, adding the U.S. understands Israel is trying to give civilians fair warning. Your response, Noor Erekat?
That is so cynical. That is so cynical and can only be corroborated by an irresponsible media that has failed to show decimation of Palestinian communities, the attack on shelters, the attack on refugee camps. What warnings? To what end? Palestinians have been under siege for 16 years. There are no humanitarian corridors. The one corridor with Egypt was bombed by Israel. The Minister of Israeli Defense literally said that there will be no exit, that there will be a siege, that electricity will be cut off, that water will be cut off, that Palestinians are human animals. There has been a priming that all of these mass atrocities will be accepted by a population who will watch it with lament, but think to themselves, but what else was Israel supposed to do? We are all being primed to accept mass atrocities. This historically is the playbook of how genocides happen. What we are seeing is a genocidal campaign. You cannot forcibly transfer 1.1 million Palestinians in a 225 square mile enclosed area. There is nowhere for them to go. The largest hospital, Palestinian hospital, that is literally on life support, no pun intended, to stay functioning, is in the north. Where will these Palestinians be treated? What we are seeing is an ongoing shrinking of Palestinian land, is an ongoing campaign to take that land without the people. They want to shrink and concentrate the Palestinians now below Wadi Gaza in what is an untenable situation. As much as we think that this is about war, about war and conflict and perpetual animosities, this is about land and water. And there is only one viable future. We either all live together or we all die together. And despite all of our appeals for us to survive and live together, the international community, mainly the Western governments led by the United States, the European capitals who have already cut off aid to Israel, France, which has banned Palestinian protests, Germany, which has banned Palestinian protests, are intent on a military option where there is no outcome. Military solution will not produce an outcome of a viable future for anybody.
You know, I already played this, but I'm going to play a much shorter clip of the former Israeli prime minister, because how significant he is, Naftali Bennett, who's now serving in the army in Gaza, exploding at the Sky News anchor Kamali Melbourne when asked about what's happening with Palestinian civilians.
What about those Palestinians in hospital who are on life support and babies and incubators, whose life support and incubator will have to be turned off because the Israelis have cut the power to Gaza?
Are you seriously keep on asking me about Palestinian civilians?
What's happening to Palestinian civilians? The former Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett said. Your human rights attorney, Noor Erekat, your response?
My response is, doesn't have to be based on any expertise in human rights. This is about morality. This is about decency. The fact that Naftali Bennett can get upset about Palestinian civilians and the death of babies in incubators should be indicative to us that Palestinians do not have the same right to survive, that we are not exacting an equality and a respect and a decency for all civilian life. We have set up this situation, Amy. We have set up this situation where Palestinians are expected to die. And what we are seeing in this moment is now an expectation that they can die in mass numbers, that they can die being in hospitals where they are cut off by electricity, by the war, by the Middle East's only nuclear power. The 11th most powerful military in the world. It's the 12th largest military exporter, and the United States and the European community is sending them arms. They do not need arms. This is not a security situation. This is not a failure of security. This is a crisis of political will.
Nora,
this is rather than normalize apartheid by inviting Israeli President Isaac Herzog to the Congress, Congress should have mobilized for an immediate imposition of sanctions in order to create a future where all people live, where all of us live, not just some of us.
Nora Erekat, we want to thank you for being with us, Palestinian human rights attorney, associate professor at Rutgers University. You just talked about hospitals. Well, this is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. On Thursday, the World Health Organization warned the health system in Gaza is at a breaking point. The WHO said, quote, without the immediate entry of humanitarian aid into Gaza, especially health services, medical supplies, food, clean water, fuel, and non-food items, humanitarian and health partners will be unable to respond to urgent needs of people who desperately need it. Each lost hour puts more lives at risk, they said. We're joined now by Dr. Zahar Salu, president and CEO of Med Global, an international medical nonprofit that provides health care in disaster regions. He's joining us from Chicago. Dr. Salu, we only have 3 minutes. Can you talk about the situation on the ground, what's possible, what is happening right now to the people of Gaza, especially with this demand that half of the population move from north to south? This is including the populations of the hospitals.
The situation is beyond catastrophic. I don't have words to describe what's happening right now. I've been in Ukraine. Actually, I just came from Ukraine 2 weeks ago and visited some of the areas that were hit by the Russians. I've been in Syria. I've been in Lebanon, other places. I've been in Gaza 4 times. But this is the worst I have seen in Gaza. Children are dying unnecessarily because of this bombing. What happened in Israel a week ago should not justify what's happening to the Palestinian children and the women and the elderly right now, and what will happen to the futures. Hospitals are overwhelmed. We have only 2,500 beds in Gaza, and right now we have 7,000 critically ill, injured patients in Gaza. I've seen videos yesterday that was forwarded by Dr. Hussam, who works in one of the hospitals in Gaza, where patients are on the floor of the emergency room because there's no enough beds. Every exam bed has 3 children crying, and many of them are not crying because they are in shock. Doctors and nurses are in shock, not because of the overwhelming patients that are coming to the hospital, but because also they're not sure whether their families are safe or not, or whether they will live for one more day or not. There is 75 attacks, according to the World Health Organization, in the last 6 days on hospitals, on ambulances, that led to 15 medics who were killed and 30-plus who were injured. The situation is going to get worse. That means more innocent people will die unnecessarily. Our hearts and prayers are with the people of Gaza, with the Palestinian people of Gaza, who are not responsible for what happened in Israel. Every loss of life should be treated the same way. And I don't think, as a physician, I've been in crisis areas, in disasters for the past 12 years. This is the worst I've seen. And I'm really fearful for the Palestinian people and the children that have no connection to what happened in Israel. They're not responsible for what happened in Israel. The situation is beyond catastrophe. And I urge our government, because they are the only party that is able to stop this hell that is raining on Gaza.
President Zahar Salu, I want to thank you for being with us, president and CEO of Med Global, speaking to us from Chicago. That does it for our show. Democracy Now! Is currently accepting applications for a video news production fellow. Learn more at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced with Mike Burke, Renee Feldstein, Augusta Messiah Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Terracena, Tammy Warinoff, Tarina Nadura, Sam Alkoff, Tamari Astudio, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen, Hani Masood, Sanji Lopez. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Join me, Robin, every Friday at noon for Roots and Berries. Tune in to hear bluegrass, old-time music, and other rootsy little nuggets with a focus on Canadian players, singers, and pickers. That's Roots and Berries, Fridays over the noon hour, right here on CJSF 90.1 FM.
Indulge yourself in the cultural and folklore traditions of Italy on Il Sole Italiano every Sunday from 2 to 4 p.m.
Eravamo ancora fanciulli e ogni sera su